Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, and we're joined this week by Casey Richards, talking all things Masters as we get closer and closer. The countdown continues to dwindle, and this segment brought to you by Geneva National. So, as we look at some of the storylines heading into it, a lot has to do with what's taking place down at Live Miami. Some of the quotes that have come out from Live Miami, specifically from Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. Let's start with Bryson. This is what he had to say when he addressed the media in terms of the Live business momentum, where it's at right now, and where we're standing in terms of a merger between Live Golf and the PGA Tour.
I'd say that's a Scott question. Scott O'Neill will take a stab at that. We don't know everything that's going on, but from what we've heard, there's a lot of positive growth and positive momentum from a sponsorship side. I'd say from a golf course side, we're playing golf courses that are somewhat easier right now, and I think it's getting more difficult as the season goes on. I hope we can continue to play some more difficult golf courses, but as our fourth year, look, I mean, it's a startup, right? It's still 4 years in, and we're working towards what we've always believed in this league is team golf, and we're still individuals playing, you know, stroke play events, but there's a team component, which is really cool. It's another business vertical. It's another opportunity for us, and I personally like it. I'm happy with kind of where it's at. I think there's always going to be improvements, just like any business, just like anything, whatever side you're on. But there definitely needs to be some continued thought around what LIV Golf is doing for the global game of golf.
So that's Bryson. I think that he mentioned, oh, it's a startup still. I don't know many startups that have billions of dollars yeah. worth of funding and backing right out of the gate.
Well, it'd be nice if you had that, but yeah. I mean, this is sort of the anomaly of anomalies. This just doesn't make business sense. When I went to Miami University and we went into business class and economics, this was never part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Say you get a company that has endless supply of money, and then somebody would raise their hand. What is this, fantasy land?
And Bryson, you know, out of all the Live players, he's been one of the ones that has leaned into the team concept the most in terms of trying to build up the branding and the affinity yeah. for the team. So, you know, pretty eye-opening statements there from him that, you know, he's obviously all on board on the model, but he's also kind of indicating that, you know, maybe a little more progress should be being made at this point.
And you mentioned something, you know, and he mentions all about this team thing. And that's the thing they keep hanging their hat on. But what I find is interesting is the two new leagues, the TGL and LIV, have obviously team components.
For sure.
On the TGL side, you've got what I think are better names and better logos. But yeah. yet the players never wear them.
Yeah.
And then on the LIV side, you got clip art. And they're all wearing it.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It's going to be interesting. Once again, it's something that I know, Mike, you and I always monitor going into the Masters, but who wears the logos?
Exactly.
And who wears, like we saw last year with Brooks, it was Nike.
Yep.
There was no team affiliation showing from Brooks. I'll be intrigued to see who wears it and who doesn't, because I'd imagine Brooks probably one of the guys he's going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It'll be Nike for him again.
Oh, yeah. And the rest of the guys will all wear at least some branding of their team, whether it's on the shirt, the hat, or otherwise. But I just find it interesting how, you know, I like how TGL has put certain cities, even though the players aren't from those areas. And I think LIV/PGA, if they ever do want to get into this team aspect, I think how TGL went about it is probably the better way. So here in Chicago, we would have a team, but we also need to have an arena so we can go see our home team play.
Right. Yeah. That's where you kind of get the separation and why I feel like even though that there's a Bay Area team or a New York team, it's tough to really identify with those players because right. you can't go unless you go down to Florida. It's all in Jupiter.
That's right.
This was Brooks Koepka as well on the LIV business momentum.
I think we all hoped it would have been a little bit further along. And that's no secret. No matter where you're at, you always hope everything's further along. But they're making progress, and it seems to be going in the right direction.
So Brooks, not one to mince words, really. You can sense the frustration there, it feels like. And even out of the – it's felt like this probably for, what, 2 years now, where he's really regret – he's both thankful for the opportunity that came up because it felt like he got his game back in shape, mm-hmm. got his body right. But you can also tell, I want to be on the other tour. I want to be playing in these tournaments and compete for world golf ranking points, all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, he is a very opinionated player, there's no doubt. And I think you hit the nail on the head because in that first full swing episode, he was emotional. Yeah. I actually had empathy and sympathy for him, and yet he can be a little abrasive at the yeah. same time. But I think now you can start to hear in his voice. But you also wonder, are they starting to posture so that they can have even a bigger payday?
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, it seems like, what is this? This is the fourth season of LIV, I believe, mm-hmm. correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of the initial kind of reaction to it seems to have subsided. And kind of to Mike's point earlier, it does almost seem to be just operating as its own, you know, independent league at this point. And there's just more golf to go around. Obviously, there's still the kind of lingering questions about any sort of merger, you know, in the background. But, you know, to me, I think just as a golf fan, it's been nice to see, you know, the two tours just continue to put on, you know, their own products in the way that each one likes to do it.
Yeah. And all of this comes on the heels, too, of there was the report yesterday that the PGA Tour rejected an offer from the PIF, which houses LIV Golf, a $1.5 billion offer.
It just wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. Yeah, I mean, that is very telling, I think, as to where we stand. I have a sneaking suspicion 2 years ago, if they would have said, here's $1.5 billion, I think we would probably have the deal done. But now that they have that $1.5 billion from that SSG group, and, you know, it's very telling. But they keep telling us we're making progress. I'll believe it when I hear it.
Yeah, like, we've been, what, doing this song and dance now, coming up on 2 years?
Yeah,
right?
Actually.
Or is it three?
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I believe it's 2 years. And it kind of feels like, oh, momentum this week, and then two steps back a couple weeks after that. You haven't found any sort of consistent momentum with putting this thing together. And I think this is a significant roadblock here.
Oh, yeah.
Rejecting a $1.5 billion deal for a merger that we thought was going to happen, at least be close, if not fully squared away a year ago?
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling and frustrating. And I think at this point, I think a lot of the players have simply agreed just to not talk about it anymore. And I think the best thing Rory McIlroy ever did was excuse himself from all the noise. And it's now going to pay off, I think, next week for him, because he's now able to tunnel vision. He's got his personal life in order. He's no longer got the distractions of being the voice against LIV. And he can just concentrate on being Rory McIlroy and the best player in the world, looking to try to become the number one player in the world.
Yeah,
I think a positive of all of this has been, it does kind of make the majors feel even that much more special when you're getting to see, you know, a lot of these players that you don't see, you know, on a week-to-week basis, as we've been talking about, the Rahms, the Koepkas, the DJs. And, you know, especially at Augusta when it's the first one of the year, it's just always exciting to be able to see. And there's a little bit of unknown because we're not, you know, able to gauge on a week-to-week basis how these guys' games are. So it adds a little bit of, I think, intrigue, you know, and mystery surrounding, you know, some of these guys and what they're going to look like when they show up in Georgia.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, we've seen the LIV guys play pretty well for the most part at Augusta. There's always one, two, sometimes even three hanging around there. And it's interesting, too, because you look at the leaderboard for the week and you've got the guys at the top of LIV right now. Those are the guys that have kind of done well at Augusta ever since making the leap over to the rival tour. Like Patrick Reed was in the thick of it a couple years ago. Phil Mickelson, despite what the CBS cameras may or may not have shown you, was in the thick of it a couple years ago. Bryson DeChambeau, we've seen have a good run at it too. So it's like those guys at the top right now, we talk about, are you trying to round your game into form? I mean, this is only 54 holes and there's no cuts, but round your game into form, and it looks like that's something that these guys are certainly trying to attack right now.
Of the top few players, let's remove them out of the LIV conversation. Who's the one LIV player that could really surprise us, come out of nowhere, somebody that maybe we haven't heard in a while about? Who in your opinion, out of the 12?
You know who I've always... every single year, I've been waiting to see him really break through in some of these majors, and we haven't seen it quite yet since he made the leap to LIV, but it's Cameron Smith.
Yes.
I mean, arguably the best putter in the world, but we haven't seen him put together four consistent days in majors since he made the leap.
That's exactly where I was going to go, because I think his putting is where he has an advantage over everybody, and I could see him doing well this week and then not doing so great when he goes back to LIV again. I mean, he's that kind of player. But yeah, he would be definitely someone I would look to. What about you?
You know, Andy mentioned Joaquin Niemann. I think what would be interesting about him is that, yes, there have been LIV players who have won major championships, but they all won majors before going to LIV
as well. Yeah.
Joaquin would be the first kind of homegrown, if you will, player to get to that level of winning a major championship while playing on LIV. So I think that would be a big kind of statement for the circuit if he were to win as kind of their biggest young gun, so to speak.
I always fall for the Joaquin Niemann trap. Like when we do fantasy golf or Masters pools, I always fall for it with him. And he's just, when he plays in some of these majors, he just has not shown up. And he's been tremendous on LIV.
Yeah.
But when everyone gets back together, and everyone always talks about it, it's like, oh, look out for Joaquin Niemann. And then he's never able to deliver anything. But he's got the game.
No, he does. Now, let me ask you a question. Who are you going to miss not seeing, whether it's LIV player or from the PGA Tour? So we've got some notable people that are not going to be in attendance this year. What name sort of pops off the chart for you?
Well, you can never, I mean, for the eye's sake, but you're going to be missing a lot of orange this week.
That's right.
With Ricky Fowler. But the guy that I'll say is Jake Knapp.
Yep.
Young guy who's been playing some really good golf, but not going to be participating this week.
Now, and another guy, And your point about Jake is well taken. And, you know, he was so close to winning when he shot the 59, but he didn't win the event, but has not been playing well recently. Another guy is Siwoo Kim. Yeah. I was surprised that he wasn't in the top 50 and would have made the list. So, but your point's well taken on Ricky. That's a huge name not in there.
Mm-hmm. I think Gary Woodland, he's had so much momentum, such a strong finish at the Houston event a couple of weeks ago, and for him not to be able to kind of continue that into the Masters is obviously unfortunate, given the fact that he's playing so well and has everybody pulling for him. So it would be nice to see him there, but you know, if he keeps on this track, hopefully he'll be back in 26.
One of the best full swing episodes was the Gary Woodland episode, going through everything he was dealing with a brain tumor, and just him getting back out there on the course to see it. I mean, it's nothing short of spectacular. For him to be back out there as quickly as he was, too, was incredible.
Yeah, and you know, the issue that he was having with part of his brain controlled your ability to be afraid, and he was afraid of everything. I mean, that would just be, and you're trying to play PGA Tour golf. I mean, it's tough to play when you're normal, let alone having just a constant fear. And I think this episode or this experience has put things
Village
into
Links of Glen Ellen provides a country club
perspective that is unlike anything else, and I think it's going to help him actually as the next few years go on, because golf just isn't that important to him anymore. Yeah. And I think that's going to actually bode well for him, instead of being, you know, tunnel vision and just all about this. I think this could actually be a blessing in disguise in an odd way.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we will make our Masters picks. Will I take the cheese again and pick Joaquin Niemann? Find out when we return. This segment brought to you by Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan, along with Casey Richards today, sitting in with us as we preview all things Masters. It's time for the CDGA Fantasy Golf Pool. Now, we do this every single major and some select other events as well. We did it for the players to kick off our 2025 season. But we go through, there's a bunch of different pools, or a bunch of different groups. There's four different groups, A, B, C, D. And you pick a few golfers out of each one and an alternate as well. And then whoever has the best score at the end walks away with some pretty stellar prizes. And we can go through our teams here. Let's start in Group A. So here's the golfers in Group A. These are your headliners, your marquee guys. Ludwig Åberg, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Hideki Matsuyama, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, John Rahm, Xander Schauffele, Scottie Scheffler, and Justin Thomas. Mike, who do you have out of Group A?
I am going right to a live player to start off with, Bryson DeChambeau. I think he's going to be ready to tame Augusta. And he is one of the two live players, I think, that could actually do it. Then I'm going to go Rory and Scottie to round it out. I got to go with one and two at the premier place in America. And my alternate is Ludwig.
All right. Who do you have, Casey?
Well, I've got Rahm, as we were talking about earlier. I think he's in good form and has obviously shown the ability to have success here. I do also have Rory, maybe a little bit of a pick more with my heart than anything else, but it's not as if, you know, he's completely underperformed at this golf course. Like, he's shown the ability to play well here. It's just a matter of putting all four rounds together. And then Colin Morikawa, I think Andy mentioned him, but he currently leads the PGA Tour in strokes gained approach, and there's a lot made of Augusta being a second-shot golf course, being able to, you know, find those greens from the fairway. So I like Morikawa here.
Yeah, he was in the hunt last year as well as they got to Sunday. I am going to go with Ludwig. I think he can follow up what he did last year at Augusta with even maybe a little bit more momentum this year. I'm going to match you on John Rahm as well, Casey, and then Scottie Scheffler. I can't turn away from the world number one. And my alternate will be former Masters champion Hideki Matsuyama.
Wow.
All right, Group B. Now, these are still some the funny thing about the majors, especially when you get all the live guys together, all the groups have headliner names.
Exactly.
And not like headliner in the sense that one group has Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson, guys who are big names but maybe aren't the big players anymore. Like, there are legitimate names in the final group that could win this thing.
100%. And it's not that way when you play the U.S. Open and you're in Group D. You're trying to figure out, I didn't even know these guys existed.
Yeah. All right, so who do you have in Group B?
So,
Mike,
in Group B, you know, you and I both love this guy, Tommy Fleetwood Mac. I just love how he's coming into form. So I look for big things. I think he's going to have a great event. He may not win it, but I expect him to be in the top 10. Former champion Jordan Spieth. I like where things are starting to head for this kid. I love Shane Lowry. I always have. I think he'll do well there. And then Russell Henley's having a nice year, so I'm going to put him as my alternate.
Lowry as well for me. Do you know he's up to 12th in the official world golf ranking? Highest ranking of his career. Obviously a past major champion, so he's shown the ability to be able to succeed on this stage. I also have Henley. Won a signature event earlier this year, so he can go up with the best of the best. And then I have Sepp Straka. Again, getting back to my theme of iron players, he's one of the best pure ball strikers on tour, and he's made the cut in all three Masters that he's played, T16 last year, so he's got that experience aspect as well.
Well, it's a clean sweep across the board. I also have Shane Lowry.
There you go.
I always like him in the events where you know there could be weather, because he's one of those guys who's just been able to sustain those bad days. And like you said, Mike, Friday could be a little dicey
right
down there. So he's one of those guys where if his tee time coincides with the bad weather. He's one of the guys that I feel like combats a lot of that. I'm also going with my guy, Tommy Fleetwood, our guy, Mike. Off the LIV Tour, I'm going to go Tyrrell Hatton.
Thought about him.
That's another name when we were talking about the LIV guys who could maybe surprise. He's one of those that always you hear his name surrounding these majors as being a guy that can he could break through eventually. He's kind of in the Joaquin Niemann boat there. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna take path B this time.
There you go.
I'm gonna go Tyrrell Hatton instead of Joaquin Niemann. And then my alternate will be Wyndham Clark.
Nicely done.
On to Group C.
So Group C, going with a lot of young hot players. They may not be hot this week, but Akshay Bhatia, mm-hmm. Tony Finau, I think his nickname now is Ace after yesterday, and then Victor Hovland. I love Victor. He's great value in Group C.
Wasn't he Group A last year?
Yes. And so, and then Tom Kim. I just think that guy is starting to turn a lot of heads, yeah. And he's starting to get more and more confident. That personality is starting to really come out. So I think he's going to show how comfortable he is in his own skin at Augusta. And then my alternate is Sahith Theegala.
I have Hovland as well. Hard not to pick him in this group, especially after winning a couple weeks ago. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come, that he's back in form. Mm-hmm. Corey Connors, one of the best ball strikers on tour, has yet to really win a marquee event. He actually switched his putter a few weeks back, and ever since then his putting has been much, much better than it has previously. So maybe that won't be quite the obstacle that it's been for him in the past. Denny McCarthy, this is only his second Masters, known as one of, if not the best putters on tour, but he's actually been putting together one of his best ball striking years to date. So if he can combine that with his putting, which has always been there, he could be very good. And then I've got Robert McIntyre. Had to go with a lefty at some point. So
you do realize he's lefty.
Oh, yeah.
So he's played twice before, finished in the top 25 both times. So, yeah.
One of your own.
That's right.
Right there. I am going to go with a karma play for Group C. Did you see what Ben On did? This was on Twitter. So the old April Fool's joke.
Oh, yeah.
This one was one that went for good, actually. So he tweeted out, I have 2 weekly tickets left for the Masters. Like this tweet and comment your favorite golfer. I'll announce 2 winners exactly an hour from now. He didn't have any of that. He was just kind of trying to see what would happen. But somebody replied and said, so he was obviously looking for everyone to say, oh, Ben On's my favorite golfer, Ben On. But this guy, Woodrow Bishop, replied, my favorite golfer is my son Maverick, who is 8 years old and currently awaiting a heart transplant. A trip to Augusta would mean the world to us. Well, Ben On then goes out and says, first of all, any replies besides Ben On is wrong. Second, this was supposed to be an April Fool's joke, but I would like to arrange 2 Wednesday tickets to Woody Bishop and his son Maverick. Those two will be going down for Wednesday, courtesy of Ben On.
So, I am now a Ben On fan.
So he is getting a karma play for me in Group
C. I love that story. That is awesome.
And then the rest of that I have here, Sahith Theegala, Tom Kim, Victor Hovland, and then my alternate, Tony Finau.
Well done.
All right, Group D. There's some big names here.
Yeah, there's a lot of great value in Group D. So I took a guy that just won, Minwoo Lee. I got to take him, right? And then we talked about him earlier with Andy and amongst us, Patrick Reed. I just think this guy is going to shock us this week. And my alternate is going to be Nicholas Echevarria. And I just wanted to say that name, Echevarria.
You know, with Minwoo, obviously a lot is made of his, you know, swing speed and everything along those lines. What really opened my eyes watching that Houston Open was his short game. I mean, he's a wizard around the greens, and that's an important skill to have at Augusta. With that being said, I didn't pick him. I have Will Zalatoris. You know, the most important stat with him, he's healthy. I mean, we know the type of golfer that he can be. He's been in contention here before, so I like him out of Pool D. And then I went Cam Davis as my second Pool D pick there.
All right. I was close to putting Zalatoris in for Group D. I have him as my alternate, but I have the same two golfers that you do, Mike. I've got Minwoo Lee and I've got Patrick Reed. You know, Charlie Bevins, one of our producers today, has really like geared me up into a Minwoo's going to finish with a top 10.
All right.
So I and the way he's been playing, it's tough to argue. So, like, let him cook. Let Minwoo cook.
Let him cook. And I mean, 150 pounds dripping wet, and he hits it a flipping mile.
Charlie, do you want to lay out your case for why you've been so high on Minwoo Lee as of late?
Yeah, Mr. Bevins.
The guy just drives the hell out of the ball. I mean, like, I know that's simplistic, and in this bomb and gouge sort of era of golf, that's not uncommon, but, like, he hits the hell out of the ball, and he's just a lot of fun to root for. Like, it's just a great personality.
Yeah, I'm with you. No lies told there.
Yeah, and I mean, how can you not love that guy? Mm-hmm. He is just fun to watch. He brings energy. He's becoming like a personality, a character of sort. Golf needs more Minwoo.
Yeah.
I don't know how many other PGA Tour players would have had a congratulatory FaceTime with Justin Bieber after winning a PGA Tour event. So, yeah, I echo what Mike said. You know, the more we can get him succeeding, I think, is great for the game.
I feel like he's taken the social media torch from Max Homa. And by the way, caddy change for Max Homa this week.
Yep. He's got to change something.
Yeah.
Because it's not working. Houston, you have a real problem on your hands.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. This was a guy who made the Ryder Cup team 2 years ago on points.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, he's...
Can't break an egg.
Right. He cannot make a cut to save his life.
No.
It feels like.
You know, will he... Okay, so here's the over-under. First round score, 75.5. Based on his first few rounds, these last few events... Yeah. He's been like 79.5.
Hasn't he put up an 80?
Yeah.
In one of them? He had an 81?
He's had a 79 and an 80 or an 81.
People were making the Kobe jokes because he loves Kobe Bryant.
Right.
And like, oh, he shot 81 today in honor of Kobe.
And it's just so interesting how fast it happened. I was in Las Vegas a few weeks ago, and he was all over the billboards there, you know, with his Lululemon partnership as kind of like, you couldn't look anywhere on the Las Vegas Strip without seeing Max Homa. And just in the back of my mind, I'm like, I wonder.
That's our face of golf here.
Yeah,
huh?
I know. Although another Lululemon ambassador.
Minwoo Lee.
Yeah. So, you know, they're hitting 500, I guess, at this point.
I wonder if they put Max Homa on the same billboard as, you know, the big magician out there, David Copperfield.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like I'm here and I just disappeared.
Right? Do you think Homa can have a good week this week?
I mean, these guys are so talented. You know, once they find that one little thing, you know, it's not like in baseball where they got to get out of a slump and it's going to take a handful of games. Golf is a funny game in that regard. The coach could say the right word, the right thing. You get that aha moment and things just click. And what you didn't have this week, you just found it this week. So, yes, I do think he could. And I think it'd be good for golf if he does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's one of those guys that golf needs to be good.
Yeah.
Because of what he brings to the game in terms of the younger audience. But I'm with, like, I think that this could be, I'm not saying he's going to go out and win the thing or even finish like top 10 or 20, but I think he makes the cut. And I think it's one of those things, it's a huge story that we're talking about on Saturday where caddy change and all of a sudden is Max back.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. It's like getting back to what we were talking about earlier. There really is no rhyme or reason as to when these players perform at their best, you know? So sometimes maybe you just kind of have to hit rock bottom to be able to make your way back up, and we'll definitely all be pulling for him.
Spring yourself up from the bottom of the pool. You never know. All right, when we come back, Dave Kindred will join us, longtime sports writer, had an article in the Chicago District Golfer magazine as well, so we'll talk to Dave when we return. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Segment brought to you by Republic Bank. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, and Casey Richards with us this week, Director of Communications at the CDGA. We'll get to a little bit of what's going on in the magazine. I did want to share this with you guys. You see this off of the Corn Ferry Tour this week, Ryan McCormick, and what he did to try to switch up the mojo. So he's kind of got a little bit of a temper, a little bit of a hothead. So he resorted to taping his mouth this week. And this was him talking about this once the tape was off, about taping his mouth to try to get things going and not get as frustrated with the golf course.
Been having not so fun time this year on the golf course. Pretty angry and mad, so I figured I've tried a lot of things. And I just figured I'd shut myself up, so I put tape over my mouth. I mean, at this point, I've tried about everything. I've read a lot of books. I've talked to people. Just too angry on the golf course. So I have run out of ideas. And I thought about the tape thing a couple weeks ago. And yeah, so just unfortunately came down to that today. I was hoping maybe it would help me. Can't say that it did or didn't, but yeah. I don't know. It certainly makes you breathe. I mean, you know, I felt like Bane, like Batman. Just like muzzle myself. I mean, I'm not like proud, but it, you know, it, I don't want to create an experience for my playing partners that's not, you know, fair. And, you know, it's not fair to me either or other people. So I, you know, having a tough time. And that was my solution today.
How did you communicate with your caddy?
Mostly just writing down the numbers. I would just point and ask him for a read sometimes. Yeah, it made things a lot simpler, I'll tell you that.
Incredible.
Wow. I mean, I guess golfers will try anything to turn it around, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's some guys on the PGA Tour that could probably learn a lesson or two from him. Lately, I don't know if it's me, but, you know, Adam Hadwin, did you see that when he slammed the sprinkler head?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was at Copperhead. And Sahith Theegala and his tomahawk throw. And then we had Patton Kizzire, who punted and bent his putter and had to take it out of play because it was no longer a legal club.
Yeah.
So he had to he putted a couple holes with his wedge, and he said, I've had enough of this. After eight holes, he called it quits. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting. The mind can be the greatest space in the world, and it can be the darkest place in the world. And, you know, sometimes guys will resort to this. What I found interesting, though, he only used Scotch tape. I would have had to use absolute duct tape.
Yeah, packing tape or something.
I just can't get over the irony of this happening in the same time that we're in the Ashton Hall social media video craze of this guy. I don't know if you've seen these. He tapes his mouth shut at night. Now we've got this guy taping his mouth shut during the day. Okay. If this guy starts ducking his head in ice water, I'm going to think that there's something up here.
But. Yeah. Is there anything that you guys do on the golf course to like try to like figure things out if things aren't going great?
Yeah, I learned from Fuzzy Zeller years ago, when I get really hot, is I start to whistle. Mm. I just whistle because it just prevents me from doing anything else embarrassing, I guess.
I just kind of try to take a step back and be like, look, I'm out here having a good time. Yeah. I mean, Mike and I are different levels of golfers, right? Like, I don't hold myself to super high of expectations. So, you know, yes, obviously you get frustrated, but any day on the golf course is better than a day anywhere else. So.
Absolutely. My thing is, I never chew gum, but I'll put in a stick of gum. Like, I keep a pack of gum in my golf bag strictly for that. I never chew gum, ever. But on the golf course, I've noticed, like, all right, it kind of, like, calms me down, and it just, you can kind of focus in sometimes.
I do the same thing because Payne Stewart was a big gum chewer, and I notice that helps with some of the tension.
Yeah.
But the problem that I have is, and I start getting superstitious. So if I go on a run of straight pars, I got to keep that same piece in until I go bogey. And then when I make bogey, I toss it, and then I go without it to see how long I'll go, and then a new piece goes in when I make another.
Do you ever, like, it just starts losing its flavor, and you're just chewing on rubber at a certain point, just shank one?
Yeah, no, I've had it where I made that one piece go all the way around, and it started disintegrating by the time I was coming up 18. But I was playing good, so I just kept on going with it.
Let it roll. All right, some other things as we get ready for the Masters as well. First of all, we haven't given out like our official picks for the Masters. So who are you eyeing? Who's going to be wearing the green jacket next week?
Sentimentally, I got to go with Rory. I think it's now or never, because I think his game, he's got all facets firing just where they need to be. He is like a primo IndyCar. He would win the pole position. He is the car to beat. It's just whether he can get it straight between the ears this week. And if he does, it would be very, very well-deserved and very applauded around the world.
I'm going to go Colin Morikawa. I think his game suits well to the course. He's playing very well right now. And if he wins, all of a sudden that's 3 out of 4 for him. And
I know, that
we're going to
be
having
wild.
The career Grand Slam conversation with him as well. So
yeah.
He's going to be my pick this week.
I'm going to go with John Rahm. I think that this could be the year of Rahm, where he's kind of got everything under control. Speaking about hotheads, like, it feels like everything's sort of back to center with him. Even though he's on a different tour, it feels like he's playing much better. He's more comfortable in his own skin. He's not this villain anymore. And maybe some of that was just pent up in his own mind, but it feels like he's kind of shed that from his own standpoint. And we see LIV guys have success in this tournament, and I think he could certainly be in the thick of things on Sunday. And he's not too far removed from having won this thing either. So
no, and you called John Rahm right at the beginning of this year, so this is going to be interesting to see if your prognostication is, or whatever, or you'll be able to predict, is going to work out. So
it is interesting how, I mean, a lot of people view this as the start to kind of the golf season, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been playing for 3 months leading
right.
up to this. But, you know, for your casual golf fan, more so for your casual sports fan, I mean, I think this is the one major that really transcends sports, right? Everybody watches the Masters, even if, you know, you don't watch any other tournament a year. So really just an exciting time.
What do you think for TV ratings, too? Because that's been a big topic lately, because they have not been very good for the Masters.
Right. And not having Tiger this year doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, if they start with a leaderboard that's a little sketchy, I don't know that the ratings will be as good. Unless it becomes something epic on the weekend, I just don't think the ratings will be up.
I would probably agree with you, yeah.
I did see that for whatever reason, the Houston Open had really strong ratings last week, which is a little odd considering it's not necessarily a high-profile event. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler was in contention, so perhaps that helped. So
I wonder how much he's starting to move the needle to the casual sports fan.
Oh,
I feel
think
like
he
he's
is.
Starting to get there.
Because
it used to be, and I hate to say it, but the arrest probably helped.
Oh,
from a year ago.
No question. I think it actually did. I think it actually made America understand how cool and how calm and how well put together this guy is, but also how flipping talented he is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I just couldn't believe how he could sustain that level of performance week in and week out. Like, eventually, as a human, it just has to take its toll on you that you can't play this good for this long in this game. Really? Can you?
Yeah.
I guess you can.
And I think the Olympics, too. I mean, talk about things that
for sure, yeah.
transcend sports. I mean, seeing him at that biggest stage, I think, opened a lot of eyeballs for people, and how emotional he was winning the gold medal. I think that really resonated with a lot of people, too. So with him, what do you guys think about the two different putting grips? He uses the claw, I think, for one length of putts, and then the traditional grip on another one. What are your thoughts on that?
I personally think it's not a bad way to go when you're inside 25 feet with that claw. I cannot judge distances too well when my hands are in that position. So I understand why he does that. And for his level of ability, the lagging with the hands conventionally versus taking that right hand out of the stroke, when, because that's what he'll do. He'll hook putts a lot, you know. And I for him just to be an average putter, he's then right there at the leaderboard. If he starts to putt remotely even better than average, game over.
That's kind of the way I feel too. It's like, if that's the last little piece of his game, and whatever you want to try, because to a degree it can't get much worse. You can't imagine it being much worse than it is.
Right.
And if he figures this out, then boy, we're gonna have a lot of runaway tournaments.
Absolutely. I always go back to football. Like, you see these teams try these, like, two quarterback packages, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of the old saying is, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one,
right?
Do we think that kind of comes into play with this, too? I mean, to me, again, he's obviously an amazing player. he doesn't even need to be a great putter, but it kind of signifies to me that he's really like searching for something with this and trying all different things. Maybe it works for him, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think he's searching. I think we always are. I mean, I think we're looking for that next little thing that's going to help us grab that edge. Again, for us to switch like that, it's going to be a much more difficult process for us. It doesn't feel comfortable whatsoever. These guys are so good. They understand what they need to do to tweak, and it's just these little tiny things. And for him, that grip may be the thing that does it for him again, and it would be amazing to hear him in Butler Cabin. I think my claw grip.
Well, that would be 3 and 4 years for him, too.
I know.
Incredible. When we come back, we will go around the CDGA, and also I want to pick your guys' brains, too, about the torpedo bat in baseball and how it could apply to golf as well. All that and more when we come back. This segment brought to you by Republic Bank.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Thank you to Jake Santos, Hannah LaMotta, Charlie Bevins, all for producing today's show. Takes a village. Takes a village. This segment brought to you by French Lick Golf Resort. Before we go around the CDGA, I wanted to ask you guys about this torpedo bat craze that's taken place in baseball. For those who are unfamiliar or maybe don't know the exact specs of it, basically what it does is it takes the sweet spot of the bat and moves it to the part of the bat where these hitters most often contact the baseball on that portion of the bat. So it just slides it down effectively. And it's got me thinking about, like, all right, how can this translate to golf? Because to a degree, it's already in there a little bit with club fittings and stuff like that. But I'd imagine in a lot of these, like, hand-eye sports and stick sports, like, you'd imagine this is going to be something that's set up in a lot of these other games now.
Yeah, you wonder if not only in golf, but, like, in a sport like hockey. You know, same way, you know, because the strength of the stick is down at the heel. That's where you're drilling the slap shot, not in the middle of the stick, believe it or not. You know, with the golf club, I think they are doing somewhat similar. And I'm wondering if baseball got the idea from golf because they are now designing the drivers with a weight that is adjustable. You do go through the club fitting, but then they can get very detailed where you're actually striking the ball on the club face. If you are closer to the heel, they can counterweight the strike with the weight and offset it so that the strike doesn't make the club, you know, torque in a way that yields for a miss hit. Yeah. You can counter the weight to account for the fact that you're not going to hit it on the screws. And as such, hit a shot that's going to be tighter with your dispersion or effectively straighter.
Yeah,
I think what's one of the words that you hear the most in these club manufacturing promotions? Forgiveness, right?
Right.
It's meant to help the amateur level player who maybe they don't have kind of that consistent sweet spot, right? One shot's off the toe, the next one's off the heel. So if anything, I would maybe seeing it come into account more with like the elite level players who, you know, they know they hit it consistently in one spot time after time. You know, I don't know how applicable it'll be to, you know, your 15 handicappers like me who, you know, I'm just happy if I hit it anywhere on the face, you know, because I know that's one of the drawbacks with the torpedo bats is, say, if you do get jammed, you know, it's not going to go maybe as far as it would, you know, with a regular bat.
For sure. So, for sure. You know who's going to be at the forefront of this is Bryson.
Yes.
Right?
You know.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up to Augusta with something like this.
Right. I mean, he pushed Augusta in the USGA, what was it, a couple of years ago when he did the 3D prints,
yeah,
and he made his own golf clubs like that. And it was interesting. It was literally a week before that the USGA told him that the grooves were too tight together. So then he went and made another mold, and Monday of Augusta, the USGA blessed him, and he went out, and I think he shot 66 with him first round.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, he'll be the one that,
you know it,
that leads the charge there. All right, Casey, what do we have going on around the CDGA?
Yeah, a few different things this week. The first one is an unfortunate note, sadly. So many listeners may know the name Rory Spears. He was a longtime sports journalist in Chicago, both golf specifically, but then also pretty much every other sport. He was a staple in, you know, both baseball press boxes at the United Center. He passed away Thursday evening. So everybody at the CDGA and here with the show just wanted to pass our regards along to his family, to his friends. And, you know, he was one of the most connected guys, I would say, in golf. Any sort of event that was going on, any sort of, you know, initiative that was being pushed out, he was always at the forefront and had all sorts of connections. So, you know, some unexpected, unfortunate news, and he will definitely be missed.
Yeah, he sure will. And I got the chance to see him at the Chicago Golf Show. It was the last time I saw him and said hello. And rest in peace, my friend.
Absolutely. Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. One of the other aspects of Augusta that I think people enjoy is the drive, chip, and putt contest. Yeah. So it's been, you know, upwards of a decade, I think, that it's been going now. And in the Chicago District, we've been fortunate to have a handful of individuals win their age group there and kind of get their moment of fame at Augusta National. I know you guys have had individuals on the show from there before. Yeah. So this year there were four CDGA youth members who qualified for the drive, chip, and putt. So just wanted to pass along the best of luck to Brielle Downer of Lockport. She is 9. Jack Kemper of Winnetka, he's 12. Chloe Lee of Plainfield, she is 12. And then Hudson Hodge of Clarendon Hills, he's 11. So
that's awesome.
Once in a lifetime experience for them. So we will see how they do. And then an interesting story written by Tim Cronin in our April issue of Chicago District Golfer about the drive, chip, and putt. So 10 years ago, there was a girl who was 9 at the time, Effie Parakis, won her age group and then was actually on the cover of our magazine, kind of jumping for joy. You know, a great photo of a very exuberant moment. Fast forward 10 years, she actually went to Glenbrook South, Tyler, from Glenview. Was playing golf at a Division II school in St. Louis, Maryville, I believe, but has decided that, hey, after this year, she's going to transfer to UIC. She wants to go to the pharmacy school, and she's just kind of done with competitive golf. And so I think that's just an interesting juxtaposition. And what's great about this event is that it can be for people like this, that it helps them, you know, hone their game up through the amateur level, and then they eventually decide that they want to make a career out of something else. Or we saw last year, Akshay Bhatia, he was the first drive, chip, and putt player to then play in the Masters. So really just a great, unique initiative that brings a lot of constituents in golf together. You know, the USGA is involved. Obviously, Augusta is involved. Locally, the Illinois PGA does a lot of great stuff with the qualifiers that are put on. So just wanted to spotlight one of those aspects of Masters Week as they really continue to try to build it out into a multi-week spectacle. Obviously, the women's amateur as well, that's ongoing. So lots of fun stuff for everybody at Augusta now, not just the elite players that get to play in the actual tournament.
Yeah, and don't forget to get those Masters Fantasy Golf lineups in as well. If you're a CDGA member, you just go to your benefits and contests. And if you're not, why not?
Yeah.
Join. And
better time than now.
You can get in on the Fantasy Golf for this week and the rest of the season as well. All right, that's going to do it for us. We will talk to everyone next week. All things Masters. Cannot wait for it. This has been the CDGA Golf Show, and this segment brought to you by French Lick Resort.